Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This is Thanksgiving week. Actually, it's Thanksgiving Day. My wife and I just put the turkey in the oven. And I really wanted to do a program about the Pilgrims or some aspect of American history or a book review or something nice about Americana. But another national crisis has arisen and every other topic has to be preempted by the historic nature of last week's press conference. The president's lawyers, Rudy Giuliani, Cindy Powell, and Jenna Ellis, stated that the election was, quote, not a victory for Biden, but a fraud, end quote. We have enough evidence to overturn any election, end quote. President Trump won by a landslide, and we're going to prove it, end quote. We can't allow these crooks to steal an election from the American people. They elected Donald Trump. They did not elect Joe Biden. Give us an opportunity to prove it in court, and we will. So this story should have been the front page of the New York Times with the same font that was used back on December 7th, 1941, when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. But no, for political ideological reasons, the media not only mocked these lawyers, but ignored the story. Because as we have been seeing, the media has discovered it's more advantageous to not report on statements and positions from the right. So the public doesn't know. The very reason Giuliani held this press conference was to get the word out. But that evening, after the press conference, I was really eager to see how it was going to be reported on the evening news. And ABC, CBS, and NBC didn't give the story more than 10 seconds. And they completely mischaracterized the conference, the press conference, as providing absolutely no proof that it was a farce, that Trump was again falsely asserting he won the election. Here's just one example of hundreds. ABC News the next day, headlines, promising more lawsuits. The Trump attorney, Rudy Giuliani, recycles litany of debunked claims. President-elect Biden's team dismisses absurd press conference as a spectacle. Debunks claims. Well, that's a lie. These claims have not been debunked. They haven't even had their day in court. An unbiased headline would have been Trump lawyers present their case. But notice that the headline, Rudy Giuliani recycles litany of debunked claims, is the opinion and the conclusion of the media, not the facts. They're interjecting their own bias and opinions into the news. And notice the picture of Rudy Giuliani that ABC posted with the headlines. The photography lights are really hot and Giuliani was sweating and his hair dye was running. And all of the media focused on Giuliani's hair dye to make Giuliani look incompetent. And rather than dealing with the issue of voter fraud, all the leftists could talk about on social media was Giuliani's hair dye. And their comments were vile. Now, the political bias and the double standard here is glaring. Because we all know if the shoe was on the other foot and the president was a Democrat, the narrative would be the president is fighting for election integrity. Or the president is one step closer to proving election fraud. The headline certainly could have gone in that direction. Just look back at how the media defended Hillary as having won the election back in 2016, how they were saying Trump was an illegitimate president. When there was a dispute in the election in 2000 between Al Gore and President Bush, the media was more than happy to drag out the election for weeks and to report on the fraud. If the Democrats question the election, it's democracy at work. If the Republicans question the election, it's considered kooky conspiracy theories. Because the media today doesn't want to be neutral. They want to be moral crusaders for the Democrat Party. The bias is absolutely amazing. So there are two stories here. The election fraud and the media cover-up. An entire God and Country program could be dedicated just to the media fraud and bias, and the fact that the media is not even investigating. In the Thursday press conference, the malfeasance of the press was pointed out continually. A quote from Giuliani: "I know that you keep reporting falsely that we have no evidence, that we have no specific acts of fraud. That's because the coverage of this has been almost as dishonest as the scheme itself. The American people are entitled to know this. You don't have a right to keep it from them. You don't have a right to lie about it." Also, quote, "It's your job to read these things and not falsely report that there's no evidence. Do you know how many affidavits we have in the Michigan case? 220. And I know this is a lot of information that we're giving you, probably because we're frustrated with what we keep reading and hearing in the censored press, which is that we have no evidence. We have no specifics. We have no backup of what we're saying. You largely ignore the affidavits that we have filed. Whether you disagree or agree with them, it's evidence. You can't say, I mean, you're just lying to the American people when you say there is no evidence." And then Jenna Ellis even rebuked the press by saying that the headlines tomorrow will be, "Trump has no evidence." But we're telling you, these affidavits are evidence. So guess what? Ellis was right. The next day, the media reported, "Trump team has no evidence." Now, at this point, people don't know whether Trump's lawyers are right and if there is this grand conspiracy against the president. But given the obvious, outright misrepresentations and the biases of the media, it causes one to suspect that there actually might be a grand conspiracy. The media actually creates fertile ground for conspiracy theories because they lie so much. It's just amazing that there is no journalistic curiosity about these election fraud cases. I mean, journalists used to long for the day they could crack a case like the Watergate. But in this case of election fraud, there is just this a priori attempt to prove it wrong, to report it as nonsense. You know, there's just not one bit of skepticism toward the voting system because their man, Joe Biden, won. One of my listeners posted the following: "Democrats brought little or no evidence for impeachment charges against Trump, and it gets treated as if it's true. While Republicans have to fight tooth and nail to prove anything, it's pretty much two different sets of rules." Well said. The media narrative going into this election was Biden is ahead, he's going to win. The narrative going out of this election has been Biden is president-elect. Question: was the media reporting it this way because it was true or because they wanted to create public perception? I think it's the latter. Depicting a Biden win marginalizes and undermines any attempt on the part of the right to dispute the election in the court of public opinion. One-sided media reporting causes those who dispute the election to be considered outliers, loony. As in George Orwell's famous line, "In the empire of lies, the truth is considered treason." Now, I'd like to cover some of the points made in the press conference. I highly recommend that you go to YouTube yourself and watch it. It's about an hour and a half long. You can read the transcript at rev.com. Given the historic nature of the fraud claims, you should put in the time. In short, Giuliani began by addressing the illegalities in ballot counting, that the ballots in PA, Michigan were counted with poll watchers pushed out. Democrat bosses instructed workers to fill out ballots for those who didn't show up to vote. Dates on mail-in ballots were either filled in or adjusted accordingly. Other missing information was filled in. Trucks piled up with pristine votes appeared in the night. Democrats scanned votes for Biden multiple times. Giuliani says he has affidavits on all this. And again, Giuliani excoriate the press for not doing its job. Quote, these affidavits would be on the front page of all of your newspapers if it weren't for the pathological hatred you have toward the president. And quote, this is all happening in Democrat corrupt cities where they know they can get away with it. This was not carried out where the law is respected. Well, then Sidney Powell, she gets up to speak at the press conference. And while Giuliani was focusing on the corruption in the physical ballot counting, Powell's case was all about the Dominion voting machines themselves, fraud at a national level in the computer software. And she claimed that there were Dominion software people behind the scenes adding and shifting votes to Biden, and she claims to have testimony to prove it. Now, this week, the Trump campaign separated itself from Sidney Powell, saying Powell is not part of the Trump's official legal team. And the media immediately claimed that Giuliani isn't supporting Powell's conspiracy theories. However, if you dig into the story, Giuliani explained to Lou Dobbs that they were pursuing two different approaches. Giuliani is going after illegal election misconduct by state officials. Powell is going after systemic election fraud on the part of Dominion. And if you think about this legally, the two cases actually have to be split as they travel up the courts. So, over the past week, I have spent hours researching this issue. It's been a long time since I spent this much time looking into a topic. There's just so much information to share. So let me just give you some bullet points here. Pennsylvania and Georgia and a number of other states put into service these new Dominion voting machines for the 2020 election. And they expected these machines to ensure security for the election. But even at the beginning of the year, even the media was writing articles doubting the security of these machines. These new Dominion voting machines do create a paper ballot. As I mentioned in my program last week, digital voting is really insane. There's no way to verify the vote. But these Dominion voting machines actually create a printout of each vote that can be used to check on the computer tabulation. So, are they safe? Well, the complaint is that they don't print out results of the voter's vote for the voter to see. They create a barcode on a piece of paper that the voter never sees. For all the voter knows, the computer could have printed out a barcode saying that he voted for Mickey Mouse. Jay Valentine, CEO of InfoGlide, a statistician who heads up a company that investigates computer fraud for major corporations. He developed the anti-fraud system for eBay. He is on record saying that he has looked at how these votes came in for Biden, the timing, the vote dumps, and he testifies that there are clear indicators of tampering. Quote, for this to have happened the way it did without tampering is a mathematical impossibility. And Valentine has posted a number of articles about the election fraud in the American Thinker on November 16th. He writes an article entitled, It's a Coup, Just Say It. This week may be the first time a sophisticated modern society had a coup. There, I said it again. A modern day coup where big media, big tech, a political party, and likely the intelligence agencies gather to change vote counts both electronically and physically. Also, November 8th, this article, there are no software glitches. Something changing is not a glitch, it's a change. Software does not wake up in the morning and suddenly shift 6,000 votes from candidate A to candidate B, as in Biden. An electric impulse hit from an outdoor lightning strike does not make code do something different. Software leaves tracks. They are called log files. So when you hear that there is a glitch in the dark of the night and votes got moved around, you can bet it wasn't the lightning strike or broken water pipes. it was someone changing something, it likely left some tracks. And my experience is that there will be lots of tracks. Competent forensic investigators know just where to look. And also in The American Thinker, this piece by Andrea Widberg, when computers cheat, they inevitably leave evidence behind. You should learn three things from this post. Number one, the Supreme Court can consider statistical evidence of fraud and can order a new election. Second, most of the computers used for voting in America have a built-in mechanism that allows votes to be weighed in favor of a candidate. Number three, if someone does tell a computer to mess with the election outcome, the computers will inevitably create unnatural data trails that prove human intervention in vote counts. And that's what happened in three Michigan counties. The analysis shows that Trump's margins were reduced by a minimum of 138,000 votes. 69,000 were taken from Biden and given to Trump. And then there's this piece by Nick Chase. Examining the code, internet geeks conclude Trump's win was huge. Around 1:30 in the morning, November 4th, when I went to bed, Trump was leading in the vote count in two Midwestern swing states. I was closely watching, leading in Wisconsin by about 2%, in Michigan about 3%, well on his way to an unexpected electoral victory nationwide. Around 4:30 a.m., I woke early and decided to catch up on the election results. Imagine my surprise to see that overnight, Trump's lead had shrunk to less than 1% in Wisconsin and about 1.5% in Michigan. But what was really startling to me was that Biden's raw vote totals had increased substantially in both states, and Trump's raw votes totals had not changed at all. That is an enormous red flag for fraud being committed. And I knew right away that the Democrats, who had failed to dislodge Trump from office by impeachment, were now going to deny him victory by stealing the election. Further confirmation came when I saw the pictures and the videos of mystery bags and boxes being dragged into Detroit's TCF Center at 4 a.m., followed by the windows in the room being boarded up, and by the ejection of Republican poll watchers. Nick Chase then goes on to cite a piece from Gateway Pundit, video shots where 19,000 votes were taken from Trump and then added to Biden's totals. I mean, vote counts never go down for a candidate, but they did for Trump. Then researchers compiled instances of vote losses and switches in Pennsylvania. Votes were switched to Biden, 220,000, and Trump lost 941,000 votes. In Michigan, votes were switched to Biden, 20,000, and Trump lost votes of 21,000. In Georgia, switched to Biden, 17,000 votes. Trump lost 33,000. And the list goes on. Now, this is going to take more forensic analysis, but these are just the anomalies that were shown on election night. Also, to be complete here, a Dr. Shiva in Massachusetts and some of his other mathematician friends have out a video where they show some statistical anomalies in Michigan, apparently proving fraud, where there is a linear relationship between the size of a Republican district and the number of Republicans who decided to vote for Biden. Apparently, in order to steal votes, they needed to steal them from heavy Republican districts. Now, I'm not convinced of Dr. Shiva's graph. Some of these linear relationships might just be natural social behavior, but you math people can check it out. We also need to be aware of the stories coming out of some independent conservative sites. They would be called the conspiracy theory sites. Apparently, according to the claim, the CIA and the FBI are in cahoots with the Democrats and the deep state. But the DIA, the Defense Intelligence Agency, is for Trump and traditional American values. And this is why, 2 weeks ago, Trump fired his Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, because he was part of the deep state. And Trump replaced him with a DIA guy, Chris Miller, a man who's closer to the military and not part of the Washington swamp. I mean, the replacement at this time was really peculiar. And the explanation that the media gave didn't make much sense. And apparently the story is that the Department of Defense then raided a CIA computer operation in Germany to gather evidence against the CIA and election fraud. But in an AP report, that raid never took place. Quote from the AP, "The false claims followed a Zoom call this week that featured Republican Representative Louis Gohmert of Texas, suggesting that U.S. Armed Forces had seized servers from a Frankfurt office and the software company Skytel. In his remarks, which were widely shared on social media, Gohmert acknowledged that the information about the alleged raid only came from a German tweet. And he said, I don't know the truth. So who are we to believe? In this culture war against leftists in government, those investigators on the right, like Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood, in their suspicions, are going to make some mistakes. There are going to be some pundits on the right who exaggerate and who jump to hasty conclusions because it's just easy to believe these accusations against the government. I mean, look how much the FBI lied about the Russian collusion hoax. Is Cindy Powell right? Does she have the Kraken, the software that hacked the system? Well, Cindy Powell is not an expert. She's a lawyer, and she can only go with what witnesses tell her. And she might be listening to a few wrong voices because some of these dark web conservative pundits can really spin a yarn. They often connect the dots and make inferences rather than having hard proof. So I expect Powell to be wrong in some things, but she can also be right in many others. You know, if she makes a mistake or two, she shouldn't be discredited. I had a listener send me one of her books. I've been reading it over the week, The Conviction Machine, Standing Up to Federal Prosecutorial Abuse by Sidney Powell and Harvey Silverglate. And after reading about all the government corruption that she had to deal with, I can understand why she always falls on the side of don't trust government agencies. But for me, here is the smoking gun. This is the story that finally convinced me that the election was stolen. In other words, given the story, I would be shocked if the election was not stolen, given the character and the confession of the perpetrator. Joe Altman, CEO of a tech company, PIN Business Network, became involved in some conservative social activism, pushing back against the Antifa narrative. So Antifa started targeting him and his company. So Altman decided to do some undercover investigation into Antifa to see what they were up to. So a few months ago, in the providence of God, Altman infiltrated Antifa and was watching one of their video conferences, and an individual was speaking named Eric. He was introduced as the Dominion guy. Altman never heard of Dominion. He didn't think much about it. But this man, Eric, was asked, what if Trump wins? And Eric said, don't worry about the election. Trump is not going to win. I've made effing sure of that. And Altman said, I thought to myself, these guys are crazy. They think they will win the election like some sort of Jedi Knights who can just wave their hand and make it so. And then Altman thought no more about this. So the election takes place. Altman sees all of these anomalies. But he's out hunting and he has sent an article. He said that he gets plenty of articles sent to him. He usually doesn't read them. but he happened to read this one. And in this article, there he was. Eric Coomer, the man he saw speaking to Antifa, he is the director of strategy and security at Dominion. The director of security at Dominion. He has a doctorate in physics. He is a mastermind at computer coding. He has many patents. And he is one of the main spokespersons for Dominion. Oatman checked out this guy's social media. And he is a rabid Trump hater. He posted on his Facebook page the Antifa Manifesto. He posts F the police. He posts some of the most vile, sociopathic, anti-Trump rants. So here's a man who shows himself to be for lawlessness. He has the motive. He has the authority. He has the means. He has the ability to tamper with the Dominion voting machine's software. But Eric Coomer made the mistake of admitting on camera that he was going to make sure Trump would not win the election. Now, investigators will still have to unearth the computer evidence, but it's the moral evidence here that really convinces me. And Joseph Oakman is a serious Christian. It was the hand of God that he came across Eric Coomer's presentation before Antifa. And by the way, Sidney Powell, Lynn Wood, Jenna Ellis, they are all serious evangelical Christians in this investigation. And then this story. Dominion officials refused to show up at a hearing before the Pennsylvania legislature. And can we guess why? Well, they're out saying to the media that their system is secure, but they're not going to say it under oath because they know the fraud that might be possible due to Eric Coomer. And yes, PA has certified its results, but the PA legislature and the Wisconsin legislature and the Arizona legislature are going to be holding hearings on the possibility of election fraud. And Georgia has recounted and certified results, but the Republican governor has called for not just a recount, but now an audit of all the ballots. So the election is not over yet. The question being asked, when will Trump concede, might actually soon be a question to Biden. President Biden, President-elect Biden, when are you going to concede? So Luke chapter 12, verse 2, there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. Accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in the inner room will be proclaimed upon the housetops, and God will make sure of this, because God's plan is to vindicate his people and to convict the world of sin. Now let's look at some scripture. We should all come to know and learn Ezekiel chapter 8, where in a vision God commands Ezekiel to dig through the wall of the temple to see what's really going on. Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 8, God said to me, son of man, now dig through the wall. So I dug through the wall and behold an entrance. Now I know this is a very obscure text. If you ask for a show of hands in your typical evangelical church as to how many know about the story of Ezekiel digging through the wall, you probably wouldn't get many hands. But we should know this text just as well as we know the feeding of the 5,000 because it's in the Word of God. And it has great importance. This text always comes to my mind in regard to conspiracy theories, because it has much to say about people being unaware of what is going on behind closed doors. And that's the purpose, the spiritual purpose of this text. God comes to Ezekiel, chapter 8, verse 6, and asks, son of man, do you see what they're doing? The great abominations which the house of Israel is committing here. Well, how could anybody know what was going on behind closed doors in the Israeli government in 600 BC? Certainly not the prophet Ezekiel, unless he went out and hired undercover investigators or he was able to get witness testimony. But even that would be almost impossible because the elders running Israel were not about to let anyone know what they were really doing. So in a vision, God takes Ezekiel to Jerusalem, to the entrance of the temple. And the first thing Ezekiel sees is an idol at the gate, pretty much out in the open, since Israel was now under the vassalage of Babylon. It was probably some Babylonian god. And the Jews at this time might have just brushed this off as simply the ecumenicalism of the time. But then God tells Ezekiel to dig through the wall of the temple, verse 9. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations that are committed here. And inside the temple, Ezekiel sees all sorts of idols carved on the walls. And he sees the 70 elders of Israel worshiping these idols. Ezekiel 8:12. Then he said to me, son of man, do you see what the elders of the house of Israel are committing in the dark? Each man in his room of his carved image. For they say the Lord does not see, the Lord has forsaken the land. So the point here is that unbeknownst to the general population, the elders of Israel were polytheistic in their hearts. And they worshiped whatever deity they thought would help them. And they thought Jehovah God wasn't helping them, so they turned to the occult. Then God takes Ezekiel back outside to the north gate, and Ezekiel sees the women who are coming to the temple to worship, and he sees that they're worshiping Tammuz, the Babylonian god of the underworld. The Jews didn't realize how apostate the worship had become in the temple. And then finally, God brings Ezekiel back to the inner court, where Ezekiel is shown 25 men, the priests of Israel, prostrating themselves in worship before the sun. So the point of the whole vision is to explain to Israel, through the prophet Ezekiel, why the Spirit of God is leaving the temple and why judgment is going to fall upon Israel. Ezekiel 8:18, therefore, I indeed will deal in wrath. My eye will have no pity, nor will I spare, though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yet I will not listen to them. See, at that time, there are plenty of Jews who are saying, hey, the corruption in Israel is really not that bad. The Lord's still with us. We're good people. But in their spiritual blindness, they didn't understand how corrupt their civil and religious leaders had become. So also in America, and this is the timeless lesson in this prophecy, don't be naive concerning what goes on behind closed doors. In this vision to Ezekiel, God is reminding people in every age that if you dig through the wall, there is serious corruption going on. So be aware. Don't say it could never happen. Now, this insider information given to Ezekiel was not about voter fraud or QAnon child sex rings or deep state communism. In fact, that kind of corruption was already dealt with by the prophets in other portions of Scripture. But here in Ezekiel chapter 8, the point was the religious spiritual integrity of the leaders, which is not considered by most people, but is actually the most important element to an honest and good government. Governments that are corrupt are first corrupt because of their religious apostasy, their false theology, their immorality, and the rebellion against God's law. Now, in our country, there is a reason why politicians are for abortion, homosexuality, LGBTQ, gender bending, legalized drugs, communism. And it's not simply because they believe in moral tolerance. It's because our leaders are personally morally depraved. They're engaged in immorality, and their theology is akin to the occult. Let's not overlook the fact that FBI agents Peter Strzok and Lisa Page were engaged in an affair, immorality, and adultery, all the while they were plotting to take out the president. And remember Jeffrey Epstein and his political friends. They were involved in a child sex ring. The conspiracy theories of QAnon might be over-extrapolated and over-applied, but they find their origins in truth. So also in this election fraud conspiracy theory, there is some truth behind the accusations. There was a book that came out in 2019, The Plot Against the President, subtitle, The True Story of How Congressman Devin Nunes Uncovered the Operation to Bring Down the President of the United States. Last month, the book came out as a movie documentary. You can watch it free on Amazon Prime. It's a must watch. It is interview after interview regarding the false prosecution of Defense Secretary Michael Flynn, the Russian collusion hoax, the FISA courts, the Steele dossier, and the FBI spying on the Trump campaign. And what I found fascinating was that so many conservative legislators and investigators said, quote, I knew it was bad, but I didn't realize it was this bad. End quote. The only thing we got wrong was that it was worse than what we thought. And Don Jr. said that when he came to Washington, he still had faith in these government institutions, the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, but it was the most misguided trust. Because when President Trump and Don Jr. and the incoming administration were told by these agencies that they needed to fire Michael Flynn because Flynn talked to the Russians 1 month before he was actually the defense secretary, they actually believed that is good legal counsel. They had no idea it was a setup to take out Flynn because Flynn threatened to shake up the deep state. So this is Ezekiel chapter 8. The people, even social leaders, people in government, are unaware of the evil that lurks in the darkness. They don't know or believe Jesus' words in John chapter 8, where civic leaders can be of their father, the devil. And he was a murderer from the beginning. And he doesn't abide in the truth. Ezekiel chapter 8, Son of Man, dig through the wall and see the wicked abominations that are committed here. Most patriots see the purpose of Donald Trump's presidency as to make America great. And there's that element. But the main purpose I see is the exposure of evil. That God has raised up Donald Trump to show the American people, especially the Christians, the corruption that exists in our society and in government, among the elite, in the boardrooms, in the classrooms, all across America. God's plan is to expose evil, to have it shouted from the rooftops as our nation goes into apostasy and eventually judgment. The exposure of evil is also instrumental in the conversion of souls. Romans chapter 3, through the law comes the knowledge of sin. People need to have the knowledge of sin, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. You know, I've been thinking about this for a while. This underlying purpose of God raising up the Trump administration, not just to preserve America, but to be a catalyst, to bring all of the evil knives out of the closet. And then I was delighted to discover Victor David Hansen, a Christian intellectual political giant, put out an article entitled Trump, the CT Scanner President. The point is that like a CT scanner, the Trump administration is exposing the corruption in Washington. Subtitle, Donald Trump has forced elites to reveal to the nation what they were and perhaps had always been. And the resulting penetrating imagery shows their own malignancy. That over the last 4 years, the Trump administration has shown what is beneath the veneer, the blatant double standards of the media, the censorship of conservatives by Twitter, Google, Facebook, the hatred leftist politicians have toward conservatives and their values, the lies, the hypocrisy of the left, the machinations of the deep state, the attempts to impeach the president on false grounds. The Trump CT scanner revealed inner pathologies in Washington. And now we have the exposure of election fraud. All in the plan and the purposes of God in the presidency of Donald Trump. And by the way, in his recent post, Victor David Hansen is not poo-pooing these election fraud investigations like some of the writers at National Review. He actually believes it's true. So here's my prediction for what it's worth. The uncovering of this election fraud is going to take months. Just like it took months for conservatives to piece together all of the players in the Russian collusion hoax, Biden may actually take the office of presidency, and then a couple months into his presidency, it may be proved that the Dominion voting machines switch votes. Then what? In Georgia, they're having runoff elections for the Senate, but it may also become a redo of the presidential election. Same might be true for some of the other battleground states like Michigan and Pennsylvania. Or it might be that the fraud in the Dominion voting machines can be so proved that Trump is automatically the next president of the United States. But keep in mind the main goal in all this. That sin is exposed. That every mouth may be closed. And all the world may become guilty before God. That men would see the corruption in this world and turn from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of Christ. So be patient. And as always, thank you for including God and Country as one small part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe. And may Jesus Christ reign. Have a blessed Thanksgiving.